Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, art history babes. Have another spooky season reboot for you. This episode is from last year's Spooky Corner series. If you weren't around for it, I was joined by my friend and now the co-host to my other podcast, Brian Muldoon, for 4 episodes. Each episode, we examined a different spooky creature from an art historical and a contemporary film and literature perspective. This episode was recorded live from Salem, Massachusetts. If you haven't seen it, we have a vlog from that trip on the Art History Babes YouTube channel. So if you enjoy this, you might want to check out the podcast Brian and I now have together called Happy Harvest Horror Show. It's available pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, and there's a link in the show notes for you. Hope you enjoy this episode, originally released October 21st, 2019, all about doppelgangers. Ooh! Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey, and I'm joined here in real life, right next to me, by, you know him, you love him, Spooky Brian Muldoon.
He's back again. Revenge of Spooky Brian, Spooky Brian 3, Spooky Brian Returns. We're coming at you live from Salem, Massachusetts, talking about some spooky stuff today.
Yeah, technically, right now we're in Ipswich, Massachusetts, which is outside Salem, Massachusetts, but we found a really good deal on an Airbnb, and I almost feel like the Airbnb has been one of the spookiest parts of this trip so far.
It has been not okay. It features a old little bed that I sleep on that I have coined Lil Willem's bed for the ghost boy Willem that used to live here.
Yeah, the spirit of Willem remain.
There are literal hand sculptures on the wall.
Like creepy hand sculptures, like ancient hand sculptures.
Not okay. And at night there are exit signs throughout, like you would see at a gymnasium, the red exit signs that light the place red.
Yeah, like it's really big. It's a really big place. And yeah, the walls are all white. So there's this red light that emanates all night. Also, when we first drove in, it's right by this huge, beautiful bog. And it's been like really rainy. And there was just this single wooden chair looking out towards the bog as though it was like a chair for a spirit or an entity of some sort.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we survived the first night, so I think we're okay. But our current situation is sufficiently spooky.
Yep.
And to set the scene even a little bit more, we were having issues with the microphone and like connecting it to Audacity. So we've created a little cozy nook in the corner to try and get you the best quality audio we possibly can.
So who knows? There might be some ghosts getting in the audio, some EMP, so what do they call it? Isn't it EMP?
Yeah, I think so.
The white noise that...
Yeah, because you can like measure the noise, the audio of ghosts. I've seen Paranormal State. Yeah, I know how that works.
I saw Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, ghosts. Those ghost bros.
So yeah, if there are any ghosts and they'd like to hop on this recording, go for it, guys.
What are we talking about today, Brian?
We're talking about doppelgangers.
Doppelgangers!
The spooky double.
The evil twin, if you will.
Right. Evil twin that is not your actual twin. I have a friend that made a comment to me saying, I got a twin, not too scary. It's not the same thing.
It's not. Yeah, you weren't born with this twin. You didn't grow up with this twin.
Because that would make it familiar. The doppelganger is the unfamiliar meets the familiar. Yep.
Exactly. So I'm going to start with the ancient roots of the doppelganger. The doppelganger is essentially, in its purest form, a spirit double, kind of an alter ego. And the word doppelganger is actually a German word meaning double goer or double walker. So once again, not your actual twin. This is something a lot spookier.
And the term doppelganger is relatively new. It was coined by a German author in the 18th century. But the idea of the double and this spooky twin has been around for much longer than the actual term has.
Yes, exactly. So a doppelganger, yes, it's an entity that looks like you. It's your doppelganger. That's kind of how the word, like what the word has come to mean. But it is typically an apparition. So it casts no shadow. It is ghostly in that sense. But it's a double of a living person. And so you can see your own doppelganger. You can also see other people's doppelgangers. People you know, people you love. And often, throughout history anyways, these entities are considered omens of bad luck or possibly impending death. So shout out back to the Banshee.
Yeah, little harbingers.
Yeah, little harbingers of bad news. Yeah, so this has kind of developed, I think, over time into the evil twin concept, which is sometimes depicted more as like a living, breathing evil twin that's also just an evil entity. So like an actual, you know, blood and guts evil twin, not necessarily a ghost, but is still an evil person, evil entity, evil twin.
Yeah, there's, it's always been associated with not chill stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to another episode, the Wendigo, like the Banshees, they're always just bringing the news. The doppelganger seems to have also nefarious goals in mind. Yeah.
The evil twin concept, typically the evil twin is going to give you malicious advice, maybe plant sinister thoughts, or cause you some type of confusion. So the thing is, you're not supposed to talk to him. Don't hang out with your doppelganger. Just don't do it.
Stay away.
Some early references, like early incarnations of the doppelganger. I want to give a quick shout out to ancientorigins.net because I found a lot of really great information on this post they did about doppelgangers, and I really appreciate it because, as I'm sure a lot of you have noticed or remember, there has been a popular upswing in people finding their art museum doppelgangers. That's been like a fun thing. I know a lot of famous people even, like there's one of Weird Al. Weird Al found his art museum doppelganger.
Really?
Yeah. And it's finding an image in an art museum that looks like you and taking a selfie with it. So when I tried to research doppelgangers in art history, I just got pages and pages and pages of these art museum doppelgangers, which are, don't get me wrong, Very fun. But I wanted actual depictions of doppelgangers in art. And this post from ancientorigins.net helped me out. So, you know, check that out if you want to go a little more in depth. So the earliest references of a concept that can be related to the doppelganger goes back to the Zurvite branch of Zoroastrianism. And in Zoroastrianism, there is basically an abstract duality just of the belief system. Like the belief system's kind of built on an abstract duality that is often represented by twins. These twins are Ahura Mazda and Angra Manu. And Ahura Mazda is good, Angra Manu is evil. And this is a concept we see in so many religions, so many spiritual beliefs. You have the balance of good and evil, right? Like yin and yang, dark and light, duality, binary. And in Zoroastrianism, there were some really solid bas-reliefs that depicted these figures, I found more of the good one, of Uhura Mazda. I couldn't really find any of Angra Manyu. There tends to be these depictions in bas-relief of Uhura Mazda, typically with like emperors or people of power, and there's kind of an exchange. So suggesting that certain people have connections to this good like spirit, I guess, sure, for lack of a better word. So ultimately, we have one of the earliest religions, essentially, spiritual systems, already dealing with this idea of the evil twin, essentially, uh-huh, you know? And then there was also the ancient Egyptian concept of Ka, which was a actual tangible spirit double that had the same memories and feelings as a person.
Yeah.
And there's actually an Egyptian myth called the Greek Princess, which is an Egyptian take on the Trojan War. And a Ka of Helen was used to mislead Paris of Troy, hoping to stop the war.
That's not too nefarious.
Yeah, that's some good work, I feel like.
That was ancient Egypt before we had time to really twist the folklore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So these are our really early references when it's not necessarily particularly nefarious, or it almost is a necessity, right? Like when you think about the Zoroastrianism example, it's the balance of good and evil. Mm-hmm. So even though one of them represents evil, there's a balance that happens there, and it's a necessity of life. As we move forward, we also have the myth of Narcissus. Mm-hmm. Narcissus falls in love with his reflection. So this can be read as kind of a doppelganger moment, right? You've got Narcissus, then you've got Narcissus's reflection, which is a different entity.
And this is an example where Narcissus meets his demise from it.
There's yes.
Like two where, but he, there's like two versions, right, that I found that he stares at his reflection long enough that he just wastes away and dies. And then the other one where he actually drowns in the pool that he sees his reflection. We're getting away from the Ka, just the spirit double, but now it's getting more into a seeing your other is a bad omen.
Yeah, and it leading to demise, to death. I'll touch on this briefly, but I think you're probably going to talk about it a little bit more. The doppelganger can also be related to like the concept of the changeling.
Oh yeah.
And the changeling has also been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of mythology surrounding that. For example, we've got Norse folklore that describes entities known as the
Vardagr.
Vardagr.
There are many pronunciations, but that's what I found is the common U.S. pronunciation.
Nice. Ghostly beings that preceded their living counterparts, taking places at various activities and performing their actions in advance.
Yeah, so it's like an opposite of a deja vu, where you're like, I've been here before. Uh-huh. The Vardagr is like a... It's like your double that arrives and does what you were about to do before you. So other people recall, like, hey, you were just here. You've already filled up your tank of gas. What are you doing here? Like,
that's really interesting.
You saw a Vardagr.
Yeah. And then we've also got coming to us from the Orkney Islands of Scotland. This is more the changeling, where we're talking about fairy-like creatures.
Love them. Big fan.
So fairy-like creatures called Trolls. Trolls would give birth to children who were apt to be sickly, and pregnant women were typically guarded from Trolls, who would steal healthy human babies and replace them with their own children, changelings.
Which would lead to a lot of mothers claiming, this is not my baby, which many people would say, oh, the mother is not well. She is not seeing. She is a danger to her child because she does not care for her, because she believes it is not her child. It is all, like you touched on it too, this was also always connected with if there was a disability or some sort of disease that the baby had, that would come to the belief that, no, this couldn't be my child. This is a changeling. My child would not be this sick.
Yeah, totally. And there's actually a really good episode of Lore.
I mean, yeah.
Lore's a podcast, but it's also, there's an Amazon series.
Yes.
And there's this great episode. It's actually probably my favorite, where Lore tells the story of a very controlling man who doesn't like that his wife is being independent and she's becoming this dressmaker and she's kind of doing her own thing. And he's like, who is this woman? She's not my wife. And basically accuses her of being a changeling. And a lot of really bad stuff ensues from that. This is a real story, by the way. This actually happened in history. And he basically, you know, tries to, I don't know, like exorcise her in some very violent ways. And eventually she just admits to it all being true and that now his loving wife is back to try and save herself. Anyways, watch it. Watch Lore on Amazon. So that's an example of it not even being a baby. It was a full-grown, independent woman that was accused of being...
A changeling.
Mm-hmm. An evil version of herself. Like, the fairies must have switched out his good-natured wife with this this independent, back-talking woman. Obviously.
Those trickster fairies, though, they were up to a lot of no good.
They really were. So, obviously, we have a lot of mythological basis for the concept of the doppelganger. That goes in a lot of different directions. Likewise, there are a lot of Native American creation myths that deal with the concept of dualistic twins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this idea of the twin and having two sides is really where it starts. And then it develops into something a little bit more specific and spiritual. And then throughout horror, we kind of have a readaptation of the evil twin. Oh, also, just one really good artistic portrayal of the doppelganger, I think in the spiritual sense, is Dante Gabriel Rossetti's 1851 sketch, and he also did an 1864 watercolor called How They Met Themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is a really cool image because it's an image of two medieval lovers, and they're, of course, on a walk through the woods at twilight, a very spooky setting, a very spooky time, and they encounter ghostly doubles of themselves. They're in the image, they're actually glowing supernaturally. And the gentleman, the medieval gentleman, he pulls out his sword to fight the doppelgangers.
On guard.
On guard. Ugh.
I like the watercolor version of this too. It's a hard, they're both the same thing, but they, I like the colors he uses.
Yeah, I mean, Dante Gabriel Rossetti uses amazing color palettes. So,
well, good on you, Dante.
That checks out. So maybe we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and I'll pass it over to you, Brian, to talk horror.
Woo!
Woo, 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 woo.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk?
Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We have returned. We are talking about what we're talking about?
Talking about doppelgangers.
Doppelgangers. All right. So, Brian, being our resident horror buff, what do you got for us?
So I'd love to just shift the conversation real quick. Just take this exit real quick and stop at this rest stop to talk about this idea of the uncanny.
Because
this really ties into, I think, why is it scary seeing your double? I would love to talk about it more than anything. So the uncanny, if we go back just to the origin of what it is, basically the word uncanny, the thought comes from Freud, and he talks about the word uncanny basically translates from German from Unheimlich, which means unhomely. And the idea of uncanny is when the unhomely collapses into the homely. So the familiar suddenly becomes unfamiliar.
Ooh.
And that is a very unsettling thing. That is a very existential thing that I feel like is evident throughout all horror, is the baseline of it.
Nothing is as it seems.
Nothing is as it seems. And you've seen this. This is evidence in any horror movie, any horror story, anything where a character suddenly goes, wait, I thought I locked that door. Wait, I thought, was that a noise behind me? Where suddenly you have this existential doubt where all of the rules that you had accepted as sound are suddenly not applicable. And so going off of that, the uncanny is, like I said, this existential dread that comes from, hold on, that's not quite right. And, you know, have you ever seen a horror movie where the character goes, is trying to explain the craziness that's happening to another character, and they always start off with going, I know this sounds crazy, because it is. The rules of your world have suddenly shifted to mean something else. And so, building off of that, I want to move on to the double, which is another term in, again, kind of horror language, where your uncanny fear is placed in a version, an unfamiliar version of what you perceive as yourself. So this plays off of the idea of individuality, where you look at yourself as a one person. I am individual. I am unique. I am me. And you see a reflection, an evil mirror of yourself in something else. And suddenly that individuality is shattered. And that is very uncomfortable to happen. This really started happening a lot. It's been happening throughout history, I think, this idea, this existential fear of the doubling, but it became very mainstream post-World War I, where we would see fields and fields of bodies in war, and suddenly this idea became harder and harder to look at all of these bodies on the fields and look at them and divorce them from looking at yourself, that we hold our bodies to being this holy temple of this spirit that will then transcend to the next life. It's hard to really hold on to that when you're seeing evidence of not that around you constantly. And so that was where I believe that it really started the movement in Europe with like Nosferatu, with waxwork, that this fear of seeing an unholy version of yourself mirrored and looking right back at you is very unsettling. If you'd like to learn more about this, there is a great book by Scott Poole called Wasteland that I've learned a lot about this. And I think it's really beautiful. It talks about, you know, the origins of the monsters, like universal monsters, and looking at that as like a scary doubling of yourself. So that brings us now back to doppelganger. This doubling, this looking at yourself and saying, hold on, that's not quite right. Hang on, let me catch up real quick to myself.
While you catch up, I just realized that it's Brian and Corey's Spooky Corner being recorded in a very cozy corner.
That's true.
This has become very literal. We are actually in a corner right now.
Absolutely. So bringing it back, talking about the uncanny and the doubling and bringing it back to doppelgangers. This is seen a lot throughout. I guess I'll just go right into examples in literature, examples in film. It's a lot in literature. I mean, it started there with the term doppelganger from the German author in 1796. It's been used as this literary device, really exploring human duality and how these paradoxical ideas can exist within the same person. How can a person be good and at the same time hold these really evil characteristics?
And I think that has a lot of base in the mythology, like in the duality of man, if you will.
Exactly. And that's how it's in literature. It's been used in novels like Hans Christian Andersen's novel, The Shadow, where it talks about this man who sees his shadow playing out opposite physical and moral traits, and eventually the shadow takes over the man himself. We're talking about doppelgangers and literary devices. We're also going to be talking about, obviously, like Dorian Gray, and seeing in the painting of his action suddenly taking a new form in this painting of himself, and as his evil version of himself is becoming this evil double of him. This is an example in Jekyll Hyde, Strange Case of Jekyll Hyde, which that one really explores more so like a public virtue versus a private vice duality. Your public version of yourself may be one way, but at home, you can be a very different thing.
That's like your shouts out astrology. That's like your sun and moon sign versus your rising sign.
Yeah, a little bit there. And it's also, especially in the case of Jekyll and Hyde, that one explored more of like repressed sexual desires taking control.
Of course.
Which is a very, I guess, scary thing.
I also, someone told me recently, I can't remember who, I don't know how legitimate this is, but that with Jekyll and Hyde, the duality, like the, I guess, more evil side of it was based on someone like doing a lot of cocaine.
Oh, okay.
Like someone being really messed up on cocaine, basically.
Which would be another version of it's
exactly,
still them, but
exactly.
It's a different version of them. Yeah.
I don't know. That was told to me like offhandedly, so I don't know how true that is, but might be. Look it up.
Yeah. Look it up. Do the work. There's also in Edgar Allan Poe's William Wilson, it's a doppelganger that tells about this boy person growing up. And there was basically a person looked just like him that seemed to exist just to drive him nuts, just to be this burden on him throughout his life. So shout out to Poe. We always got to fit him in a spooky podcast.
Of course.
It's seen throughout literature. I think it's also seen, we're going to see in film a lot too. And that's why I wanted to bring up the uncanny and the doubling, because it plays off the same idea, the same fear that comes with the doppelganger. But the example of the doppelganger is a very narrow concept where, like, its tendrils, I think, reach out to a lot of different ways. And we'll talk about that, especially in film. Like, if we look at things like split personality as a form of the double in film. So we think of things like Norman Bates in Psycho and how he will, you know, spoiler if you haven't seen Psycho, but he dresses as his deceased mother and carries out all the murders in the hotel. So he is an innocent, shy boy by day, murderous mother by night.
Of course.
There, if you look at Fight Club with Tyler Durden,
ooh,
the split personality again.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good one.
And the frustration that Edward Norton has throughout that movie, there's this other version of himself that is living the life that he wishes he could live, but he himself is not. And even in Black Swan.
Yes, Darren Aronofsky.
There's this perfect version of herself that she's aspiring to be. And there's that really, really scary, uncomfortable psychosexual scene where she and Mila Kunis are in this love scene. And then she sees a mirror of herself doing it to herself. Mm-hmm. And it's this, there are layers there. But
that movie's so good.
Black Swan. Big fan.
Big fan.
And that's that idea of split personality. There's also the actual doubling, and these are less scary, but it's still in the mainstream. There's like The Prestige.
Yes. I watched that not too long ago.
That ending is great.
Yeah.
And I think it touches on the realm of horror a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. That reveal is very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
And the implications behind it are horrible.
Yeah, they are.
There's movies like the Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator. That's a doppelganger, the two living off same one life. There is Moon. Have you ever seen Moon?
I haven't.
Oh, it's cool. It's great. I think it's on Netflix again. Check it out. I don't want to spoil Moon if anyone hasn't seen it. It's more contemporary and it's a fantastic film.
We're all going to watch Moon.
Watch Moon. In theaters now. Gemini Man from Ang Lee.
Yeah. Shout out astrology again. Like Gemini is the perfect incarnation.
The duality. Yeah. And I thought of this before we did the podcast, but I think this is a really unsettling version of the doppelganger, the duality, and the existential crisis of seeing like a double. If we remember Toy Story, when Buzz Lightyear figures out that he is a toy, and he has that moment in the sea of the toy store of seeing versions of himself. Just think of that movie.
And that is such a good... Oh, man. Way to go, Brian. That is a good one to bring in. Oh, I love that
Toy
so
Story,
much.
Those movies.
Because then he goes nuts, and he has the classic, I'm Mrs. Nesbitt moment.
Yeah, because he doesn't, because his what everything he held so true mm-hmm. is suddenly out the window.
Shattered. His entire worldview is shattered.
Which is terrifying. And so when you talk about why is it so scary seeing yourself, because... One, there's a lot of things happening when you see yourself. One, your individuality, yourself, is suddenly shattered. Mm-hmm. You are no longer yourself. Yourself is someone else too. And that is a scary thought.
Yeah.
You don't have control over yourself. There's the two, that your worldview, the world rules that help you go throughout your daily life. If they're suddenly out the window, it's very uncomfortable to reconcile with that.
Yeah, that just kind of another offshoot made me think about, just in our contemporary world, the idea of catfishing.
Oh yeah.
Like I've had many conversations because I love the show Catfish. Like I watch it way too often.
Yeah.
And I've had many conversations about the idea of like, obviously being catfish sucks real bad,
yeah,
but also imagine someone being a catfish using your shit, using your images, you know, using your name.
Yes.
Like someone creating a profile as you. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like that 100%. Is a very uncomfortable thing, and it's an element of the catfish scenario that I think is not focused on quite as much.
Yeah.
Is someone, yeah, taking on your identity to do what they will with it. I think that's a very almost contemporary version of what you were just talking about.
And that's a real problem, especially in like Tinder and dating
yeah,
apps, where
yeah,
people
yeah.
will take your likeness and put it out there for other people too. And gosh, that would be unsettling. I've never
oh,
been
yeah.
on a dating app and I'd finding be... myself that I could, you know, poke
right?
or swipe right on, you know, like,
right?
yikes.
Oh my God. Like, that would be so uncomfortable.
Which this is a great transition to another movie that I saw last year. It came out on Netflix last year, if you haven't seen. It's called Cam. It explores the doppelganger through the lens of the life of a cam girl, the cam performer.
Yeah, so that connects us perfectly, I feel like, yeah. internet age.
100%. In that movie, there is a doppelganger, a double of herself that is playing out on her channel, on her site, her cam, while she is not there. And the double is much more successful and getting much more clicks and much more views. And it touches on, there's a line earlier on in the movie where she was struggling of like, what do I have to do to be the best at this? And then you see this scary commentary on the entertainment industry of what it does take to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this inhuman, like scary thing.
Mm.
It's a really good movie. And it's actually a really compelling look into the cam industry.
I bet, yeah.
Written in by an actual former cam girl.
Oh, well that's, yeah. Cause that's actually, as you were saying that, I was like, I hope though that it's not like a voyeuristic perspective. I like that it's by someone who actually has been a part of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very interesting movie. I highly recommend it. It's still on Netflix, I believe. Things don't leave Netflix, right?
Oh, they do.
The originals, though?
Oh, no, not the originals.
Okay.
No.
And, of course, if we're talking about film and doppelgangers, we can't miss last year's – no, not last year's. This year's. This year's huge hit, Us. Jordan Peele's Us.
Oh.
Big fan. I say big fan a lot, but this one was very good. Looking at it through the doppelganger, this one's taking that doubling and the existential crisis and looking at it through a lot of different lenses, but one of them being the national crisis that I think we're in right now, the identity crisis.
Oh, yeah.
There is a line very very early in the movie where they meet their double of the family and they're horrified and they're like, who are you? And the first line Lupita says back is, we're Americans. And that I can't believe that wasn't used in the trailer.
Like, that's brilliant.
It's such a chilling line of like, we're you. This is it, you know? And obviously there are more
and
layers
also,
of things happening in the story, but.
And
yeah.
also the impetus to define yourself, like, you know, national identity,
yeah.
like to define yourself as an American. Like that's really interesting.
And that's been a very common thing in obviously politics nowadays. There's this huge divide, you know, between two parties, and it's becoming harder and harder to see yourself in the other. And you're like, how can we have come from the same place? You
mm-hmm,
know, there's
mm-hmm.
that fear of the doubling, not necessarily a doppelganger, but
yeah. But that we're supposed to share an identity and we don't. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, the duality of identity. It's coming full circle.
It's freaky. It's freaky.
Freaky.
I guess going real quick back to books. This is actually going to be made into a movie for HBO later this year, but it was a book first. Stephen King's The Outsider touched on this last year. The book was published May of 2018. I was going to say his most recent book, but he's released two books since then.
Man, that guy is prolific as hell.
He can't stop. But this book is super interesting, and if you're looking for a really spooky doppelganger book, this is incredible. It all plays out of this small town man. He's like a softball coach, I believe, and there is a brutal murder of a young boy done by a person that looks exactly like him. They have multiple witnesses that saw him do it.
Oh no!
And they all his DNA evidence, everything is on him. But the thing is, he has a stone-clad alibi. He was at this other place. So, like, how could he have done this other thing? I don't want to spoil. It definitely goes into, like, Stephen King supernatural stuff. But especially, like, how if that actually happened in society, how, even though there's this inconsistency, you can't get around. There's this
DNA evidence. Yeah. Like, you just, like, that ends up being the end all be all in a lot of cases.
So it completely ruins this man, this family, this, like, town. It completely obliterates him. So The Outsider, you'll find it later on HBO if you want to watch the movie instead, starring a stacked cast. We got Ben Mendelsohn in there. We got, there's more. I forget the other names.
There's more.
But yeah, so that's what I've got for examples in film and literature.
Man, that was great. I feel like we went on a real journey there. That was good.
Thanks for following me.
How about we take another break, and then we're going to come back and get real spooky and talk maybe some real-life doppelganger sightings. We're back. Brian just tried to and failed finding a silver dollar sized bug?
Giant bug. And it's gone. I got up to kill it, or I let it free. One of the two.
I hadn't decided.
I was driven by anger, but sympathy was taking over. But it was gone before I got there, which now brought me straight to fear.
And now it lives with us, so we'll let you know how that turns out.
Spooky place.
Spooky, spooky. Okay, so just to pull all this together, to wrap things up, I thought it'd be fun to... There's a lot of real-life doppelganger stories, and I don't mean, like, meeting another human that looks like you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, ghost stories. And there's been a lot of them throughout history. A lot of people have claimed in a ghostly capacity to have encountered their doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these people, including Catherine the Great.
Oh, do you know the story behind that one?
Do you want to talk about it?
More than anything. So Catherine the Great, while she slept, there was a myth that her servants saw the doppelganger of her sitting on her throne while she was sleeping.
Mm.
She ordered that the doppelganger be basically killed, but it never was. And 2 weeks later, she died of a stroke. Omen? Or not? You tell me.
I mean, it could have been an omen, or this actually connects to a theory I have that I will bring up at the end of the episode, but maybe in killing the doppelganger or wanting to kill the doppelganger, she killed herself.
Whoa. But we can't ask her.
We can't. It's not. Unless she's here. You here, Catherine? You here?
We'll play back the tape and see if there's anything else.
Some other doppelganger sightings, Percy Shelley. So that's the Mary Shelley's beau.
Uh-huh.
So just an infamously spooky person.
If you're talking about Mary Shelley too, Frankenstein is a form of the uncanny and the doubling as well. There is a lifeless body reanimated, and suddenly you're thinking, oh, hang on. What is life? What is the body?
Connections on connections,
yep.
Man. Queen Elizabeth I, Maria de Jesus de Agreda. But the one I want to focus on is a fun little anecdote. Abe Lincoln.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Abe saw his doppelganger soon after he was elected. And his is, I think, particularly interesting because according to the story, he looked in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And he saw himself, but he had two faces.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the faces was pale and sickly.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And Mary Todd Lincoln, she did not think this was a chill thing. She did not think this was a good thing to be seeing. And she was convinced that it was a bad omen.
Yep.
Particularly, she was convinced that he wasn't going to make it through his second term in office.
And history showed us.
We know what happened.
I won't spoil it if you don't know yet. You probably should.
But if you don't know yet, you need to look that up immediately. And also, your high school history classes failed you.
Miserably.
Or you should watch the Drunk History episode, because that's one of my favorite Drunk History episodes.
It's a pretty good one.
With Adam Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. Also, Lincoln is a great movie. We saw Lincoln together.
Did we?
In theaters.
Oh, we did.
Because I thought it should have ended somewhere different. I remember we had a debate. And I thought it should have ended sooner than it did, and you saw it otherwise.
I am going to be honest, I don't remember.
Of course you don't. You also don't remember that we saw Alt-J together.
I remember seeing Alt-J.
You gotta.
We'll leave it at that.
So yeah, so that is a real life doppelganger sighting. There have been lots of them. What is actually happening? Well, scientists have surmised that it could be an electrical glitch in the brain, which, you know, that's a very vague thing, electrical glitches in the brain, or a sign of mental illness such as schizophrenia, which does, you know, check out because schizophrenia often involves hallucinations.
Yep.
So there's something there. But I have a theory.
Do tell.
In when we first decided to do this episode, immediately I went to look up like doppelganger ghost stories, you know, doppelganger sightings. And what if this kind of is a different approach to the nefarious doppelganger? What if our doppelganger is really just like our higher self?
Mm.
Like an image of our higher self. Because it's pretty common to, you know, seek wisdom from your higher self or think of your higher self in some way or think of your higher self as protecting you.
Yeah.
And what if it's just energetic incarnation of your higher self?
I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea of your doppelganger being a good dude.
Yeah, and that's a positive one, unless you maybe...
Unless you're a really bad dude.
Yeah, unless you took a route in life that maybe...
But your Dorian Gray picture is actually, like, really beautiful. You gotta, like, whew, like, really examine.
Yeah, exactly. What you're doing. So I guess maybe the doppelganger as higher self could be positive or negative.
Yeah.
Depending on the path you've chosen. But I think it could also be a guiding force, a guiding spirit, a spirit guide, if you will.
There's a lot I found in the research for the doppelganger on this great article about this topic on Atlas Obscura. And there's a line in the article where they say that, you know, talking about our spirits being another version of ourselves and talking about how our ka will walk around and how, especially in the instances of latent life, this happens a lot when they're ill or sick, that sometimes we'll see the doppelganger and we'll think that, oh, it's an omen that death is coming. There's another interpretation that there's a belief that when our body can no longer hold on so tightly, our spirits are free to wander.
Yeah, I love that.
So when you're late.
I love that.
Yeah. So that might be something.
I love that because, yeah, that's – I personally really like the idea of – you know, your body just can't last forever and eventually it gives out for any number of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of death as we talked about yesterday. I like the idea of death as a release, as like you're releasing yourself onto the into the next adventure. So I like that concept of it being a prolonged experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not just like one big moment. It's like gradually your spirit's getting used to the idea of being separate from your body.
That's why we loved ghost stories as a human culture, because it is, even though that's scary to see, it is a proof that there's something after.
Exactly. Yeah. It's comforting.
Yeah. It's also uncanny. And actually, I forgot to mention this. I'm talking about a lot of horror movies that use the uncanny, meaning unhomely meets the homely. Mm-hmm. A haunted house is a literal version of the uncanny. It is.
Home.
A friendly and welcoming home suddenly meets a sinister and unwelcome place.
That's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. God damn, that's good.
I know. But bring it back to the medical. There's actually a term for it. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but hutoscopy?
Hutoscopy. I think that's
But it is a medical term of in neurological circles of an out of body experience when one hallucinates seeing their double from afar. And you mentioned that it's attributed to schizophrenia.
Yeah. That's super interesting. And what's interesting about all that, what I love is like, you know, we're over here kind of speculating wildly with our more like spiritual ideas. Mm-hmm. And that and the scientific approaches to it, they don't have to be – it doesn't have to be one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're having electrical glitches in your brain, like that can also be – a spiritual experience, you know, like there can be a crossover of realms, of more mystical, esoteric things. And it can also, there can be scientific lingo to explain it.
Yeah.
And I think that's neat.
That's pretty neat. I like that you look at the positive in it, because I come from a place of, like, dwelling in the uncanny. I'm like, oh, no, I don't see this as, like, a release. I see this as I don't know what's next, and that's uncomfortable.
It definitely is. That's why I'm an absurdist.
Yeah.
Anyways, this was a fun episode. I think this might be my favorite of the Spooky Corner episode so far. I liked all the directions we got to go with this one.
Doppelgangers, yeah.
Doppelgangers. Hope you enjoyed it. And we got one more Spooky Corner episode.
Sure do.
What is it going to be on?
You tell me.
You forgot?
I think I remember. It's zombies, yeah?
Yeah, zombies. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just going to take a really easy one. There's not a lot of material. It's probably, I haven't even heard the term zombie before. So I think we could probably bang this one out next week in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's very little on zombies up there.
So mark out 3 hours of your schedule for next time, because we're going to home run for the last fourth episode.
Yeah, definitely. Also, as we teased in the beginning, we're in Salem, Massachusetts, and we're here for Salem Horror Fest. Salem does it up in October. And so we're doing some Horror Fest activities. We're going to see the Blair Witch Project tonight, which
yes,
I'm unbelievably excited about. I'm gonna come back possessed, you guys. We're also going to hit some like witch museums, do all that. We've been bopping around the town, and we'll have a YouTube vlog all about that. I think we might also record a decompression episode telling you all about our adventures in Salem.
Massachusetts.
So yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Happy spooky season, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Unless she's here. You hear, Catherine?
We'll play back the tape and see if there's anything on it.